there's been quite some talk, re-arisen, if you will, about marketing arrangements in the cattle industry. And this is prompted by a new offered proposed rule by the Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration concerning cattle marketing arrangements between producers and end users, packers, bringing by once again livestock economist at Kansas State University, Ted Schroeder, to address this. And to that evolution of marketing arrangements, it has been a significant change in the industry, hasn't it, Ted?
Eric, indeed. We've seen the industry respond in a very large way to several different things that were driving change in the industry. One certainly was trying to address domestic and international consumer and customer needs. Another one that certainly has been more prominent in, say, the last 8 to 10 years has been the issue of trying to deal with a very risky, capital-intensive industry where risks and capital at risk are much greater today than they were 15, 20 years ago. You combine those events, and in order really to survive and to have a viable industry that's sustainable, you know, one of the major changes that occurred was to develop marketing agreements and downstream relationships between producers and ultimately customers and consumers. Those initiatives address a lot of things that ultimately our consumer in the industry is striving to have, and that includes things such as quality assurances and an affordable product that meets the specifications for that particular consumer segment. Because of the complexities of all that and the risks involved, the best way the industry has figured out to help make that happen is to develop agreements that are vertically and vertically coordinate the system.
Is that to say we might not have seen improvements in, say, product quality and consistency in the absence of such agreements?
It's pretty clear that we wouldn't have seen it at the rate that it occurred. And the reason being, the cattle industry, we well know, it's a very long-term investment, in the base genetics of the herd, in the facilities to produce and finish and have the cattle prepared for harvest. That's a long-term investment, huge inventory costs for the animals as well as the underlying physical structures. And economies of size have made that an industry that has some scale to it as well. As soon as you get all those together in a heterogeneous product and production system, the best way to assure that you're producing what the end consumer wants is to vertically coordinate with that end consumer. So I think that the catalyst for this was an industry trying to be responsive and coming together to say we have got to get closer to our end consumer, and the way we do that is to form relationships with them.
What then, looking at the starting point of those relationships, what has this mean to the producers' returns?
Well, developing those alliances is a way to make an assured product flow, if you will, a pipeline that gets the right product, the right place, right time in an efficient way. And ultimately, that's what's driven us to where we are at in this industry today, is that to effectively manage risk, effectively meet end consumer needs, we have developed those pipelines which have long-term relations, expectations, accountability vertically throughout the production and market system. Mm-hmm. Anytime you put those relationships or the ability to form those at risk, anytime, whether it's politically or other component, you put at risk some very long-term developments that the industry has invested in to ultimately grow demand and to manage risk in an industry like this.
There is the counterpoint that's been put out there about the impact of contractual arrangements, of which we're speaking here, on, quote, the open market and price discovery within the industry. Have those been a hindrance, those agreements, to that?
Well, anytime you go from a very liquid, day-to-day kind of visible market system and you start to move towards longer-term kinds of relationships and less reliance on day-to-day activity, you do reduce some of the visible market information. And there's always an issue there of how do we make sure we have both. We have some discovery that's visible so the industry can help understand demand and supply signals, but we also have an industry that coordinates vertically as efficiently and effectively as the industry is in some places today. It's kind of a balancing act, and the industry is realizing that increasingly as we've moved to less active, daily, engaged negotiation of prices. You know, there's new initiatives around trying to ensure by the industry, trying to ensure some of that liquidity, let's say, in the daily cash market that I think have some traction. And we could talk about those. But, you know, those are ways to make sure we're still having some efficient, viable discovery of day-to-day prices. But frankly, a lot of the contractual arrangements that are longer term, they may not need as much the day-to-day market information in order to really effectively coordinate that production system. It's a much longer-term relationship. It's not so reliant on today's or tomorrow's price. It's really reliant on the longer-term value proposition that production and marketing system brings to that customer.
So you suggested that maybe there are means of creating more liquidity in the market. What would those be, and are they viable?
Well, we have some feedlots and some producers who have already said we will negotiate some more because we want to have some viable daily price discovery for some of our anchor points so we understand what's going on in the market. The Fed Cattle Market Exchange recently launched their electronic live cattle market system that trades once a week. That's another effort to have some visible price discovery that can occur at a bit lower cost, say, than some of the negotiating, direct negotiation that might go on between multiple buyers and a single seller. Those initiatives in particular are some that the industry has taken upon themselves to say, we do want to make sure we have a viable cash price because they see the value in that information flowing around the industry. It also facilitates a better risk management instrument in the futures market because it relies on some of that day-to-day fundamental information coming out of a cash price. So there's some initiatives there, and I think they have some traction, and I think they'll have some viability. And so, you know, I think having both is ultimately, again, probably something that's going to benefit the industry to have both some daily price discovery that's illustrating market signals, short run, but continuing still to develop these longer run market agreements that, you know, help flow product through a complex system in this global market.
So, and back then to the proposed GPSA rule, without getting into the details, but the rule proposed raises the specter of, at minimum, interfering with these marketing arrangements, if not finding them somewhere along the way in violation of the Packers and Stockyards Act. Just from a purely economic standpoint, Ted, what happens if contractual marketing arrangements are restricted or even to that extent abolished?
Well, part of the reason the industry in particular gets anxious very quickly when they hear the sentiments towards dusting off an old proposal, you know, GPSA that really at the time didn't fit the industry well either, segments of it, and they start to get concerned about the real details, is because the details matter. And where and how and what the specific rules and regulations that might be built in and added and adopted into a bill, as we know, can come down to last minute kinds of negotiations in the policy arena. It makes people very nervous because it could dramatically influence the system that they've taken a long time to build to help facilitate and coordinate their production and marketing. So I think it's rightfully so that they come to the table and say, wait, let's make sure we understand the details here, because they could dramatically influence in a negative way the kinds of systems we've put in place. So I think that's why the anxiety levels get raised. I think it's legitimate anxiety, and I think the industry needs to stand up and help illustrate the value of those marketing arrangements, how they've evolved, why they've evolved to where they are, and how important they are for really the sustainability of the market system and of the producers involved. And, you know, anytime you impose regulatory kinds of issues, it always comes down to the details of who's impacted in what ways. And that's why this one needs to continue to have, I think, a close scrutiny and magnifying glass as we go forward with the industry involved in the dialogue and not simply sitting by the wayside.
Ted, we appreciate the perspectives right here. Thanks, as always, for coming over and sharing your ideas and thoughts.
Well, you're very welcome and happy to be part of the dialogue.
Ted Schroeder, livestock economist at Kansas State University.